All right, let's turn to Galatians, one of my favorite books. It was my staple diet that I decided to read weekly, along with Romans, throughout Bible school, because it's so fundamental to understanding grace. Lord, thank you for gathering us tonight and what you're doing in our hearts, in our midst. Thank you for your mysterious work of grace, Lord, on the earth today. And how the devil hates it. But we rejoice in it, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, for do I now persuade man or God? Or do I seek to please man? That word is aresko, to be fitted and adapted to man. For if I yet please man, I would not be the servant of Christ. But I certify, I want you to know, I'm making known to you, in verse 11, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me was not after men. We heard a great message on Thursday night in Owings Mills. It was fantastic, with Pastor Ronaldo on the grace of God, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And then we continued it from this verse that, this message, the grace message, the gospel of grace, is not according to men yesterday in the same place. And just the amazing thing that it's not based on men, it's not based on us. Praise Jesus. It's not based on us. Hebrews 1:3, he says that after he had by himself purged us from our sins. And I love that by himself part, because he didn't need you or require anything from us. He said, I got this one. After he had by himself purged us from our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He did it by himself. He decided that salvation was too important that he didn't want to leave anything up to us. Praise him in this place. That's awesome. I mean, that's great. Because if there was any part that we would have in it, not only would we glory, of course, but it would not be sure. It would not be secure. We'd be living around, we'd be walking around as insecure people, not confident of who we are and where we're going, because we would have something to do with it. And God said, I've got this covered. I'm going to by myself purge you from every single one of your sins. At salvation, we received the benefits of a perfect work. Something changed in our hearts. I got a new father. I got a new kingdom. I got a new citizenship. I got a new future. I got a new family. I got a new brothers and sisters. I didn't get a new conscience. That takes time to get the new conscience. To get God's new thoughts, that takes time too. But my identity fundamentally changed as a gift bestowed gratuitously with no act of work on my behalf. Nothing for me to do. Sometimes Catholicism has unfortunately front-loaded the gospel with a requirement of human performance in order to receive favor and benefits, divine benefits. But Protestants are, that as well, has sometimes back-ends it. We said yesterday, like Gehazi, who afterwards came in 2 Kings 5 and wanted requirements afterwards, some kind of, you know, payback. We can never pay back God, and he doesn't want our payback. That which proceeds from man is not the gospel. The gospel which was preached by me was not according to man. We says it was not human. It was not human. It wasn't man-centered. It's not based on me. It's something outside of our vocabulary, outside of our natural thinking. That which proceeds from the flesh, that which comes from the flesh is flesh. In John chapter 3, verse 6, everything I could do. Oh, no. Don't. No, 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 no. Please. Everything that we could do, that which proceeds from the flesh is what? It's flesh. All that man can produce is natural and therefore summed up as requiring execution. That's embarrassing, isn't it? That's our liberty. That's our true liberty, because the burden is not on us. Praise the Lord today. Whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. You'll know the truth and it will set you free. Free not to sin, but free to live in the forgiveness from sin and a power not my own to enjoy an effortless victory over it. Praise the Lord. I like that. You know, I don't. This is page one. What are we going to do? All right. We have a tendency towards self-centeredness. False gospels are always about man. About man, man. About man, improving man by man for man. This gospel of grace is not human. It's not kata anthropos. It's not a racial thing. It's not about man. It sees no distinction. It puts us all there. And it says, I want to do something on behalf of man that you could have never, ever done. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. If one died for all were dead in my estimation. But praise be to Jesus. A gift has nothing to do with the receiver, but everything to do with the giver. Praise the Lord today that something was done on our behalf. A meeting took place on our behalf in eternity past in Acts 2. And a meeting took place that was about you, but didn't include you except as a beneficiary. Sorry. Sorry about that. This is a sacred place, but I'm excited about it. This thing is not about man except for man being a beneficiary. We are not the subject that's producing anything. We're the object. He's the center. He's the object that's producing it. And what frustration comes in when people think of themselves as the center, right? If you could sum up all of human history, it would be Daniel 2, one big man with all of his glory and gold and then his weakness. And one day this thing is coming down by the stone that will knock it down. Okay, thank you, Lord, today for we're not compromising on it. We're not giving one inch. Father, this is all about your glory. This is an amazing, amazing, liberating, quickening, powerful, pure, unadulterated message. Father, we thank you for what it's done, what it's doing, and thank you that we're stewards of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, that was great. Wow, that's so edifying, Pastor. That was awesome. Thank you. Wasn't that good? Yeah, that's a good word. Wow, wasn't that good? Wow, that was awesome. I mean, because we're of the same mind, you know? And he's speaking, and I'm like excited about what he's saying and just resonates with me in my heart. It's so good. Yeah, thank you, Lord. That's amazing. This morning we had a beautiful service, both of them. The 9 o'clock, I spoke about the same subject, but I used Romans 9, and the sermon went a little longer than I thought, so I dropped it in the 11. But I would like to show it to you tonight. So would you turn with me to Romans 9? And I want to say the same and go on with it a little bit more, what we want to say tonight. So turn with me to Romans 9. Actually, let's do it. Are you ready for it? Okay. Let me feel that again. Are we ready for it?
Yes.
Okay. Is York, Pennsylvania in the house? Yes. Let's see. Would you all stand up if you're from up in the boonies up there? Wow. York, Pennsylvania. Thank you. Thank you for coming down. That's great. York is in the house. Do we have any visitors here tonight? First time at a Greater Grace service. Okay, these folks, wow, awesome. Good to have you. And this is Jill. Did I get it right? First time last week? No, second or third? Okay, third. And you're a friend of Chelsea? Yeah, so Jill is a friend of Chelsea, and then the lady, young lady in the middle is a friend of Jill's. And what's your name?
Mindy.
Wow, beautiful. Good to have you. Anybody else here first time? There's somebody in the back there. Thank you. What? Okay, thank you. Beautiful. Thank you. Wow. Well, first time guests that come to be with us, we just want to treat you really well, and then like the reality comes later. No, I'm joking. Yeah, we want to treat you very well and just say, thank God you're here. It's amazing. And we want to build you up in your faith and love you. There, I think there is, there you go, there's a gift card. Turn to Romans 9 with me. Please. Actually, this is a very good text, Romans 9, verses 30 to 33, but I just changed my mind. I'm not going to do it. Turn to John chapter 8, and I'll just share with you from my heart, very simply, something that I touched me yesterday when I was reading the Gospel of John. Have you ever just said, I just feel like I'm going to read the Gospel of John, or I'm going to read the Gospel of Mark, or has that ever happened to you? And you start reading, and then, you know, the Spirit is ministering to you. This happened to me with the Gospel of John. I didn't read up, I just, John 8, and then I went back to chapter 1 and I started, and I just want to share with you a couple of thoughts about this. We could look at John 1. I know you're going all over, but John 1, and I want you to look at the word no. The word no, if you want to read this on your own later this week. Who are you? Look at chapter 1, and let's see, verse 5. The light shines in darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. Darkness did not know the light. Did not know. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Didn't know. And that is shocking. That we don't know God. Christ comes. We don't know him. We don't know him. Then John the Baptist comes, and we don't know him. Verse 21. They asked him, what then, are you Elias? And he said, I am not. Are you that prophet? He said, no. Then they said unto him, who are you? What do you say of yourself? Who are you? Who sent you? Who are you? They don't know who he is. And this is touching. Because through the Gospel of John, you see Jesus coming, and almost in my heart, I'm touched by the fact that he's in this world and we don't know him. I'm touched by that. I mean, he's in this world and you don't. It's a terrible thing when somebody doesn't know you, isn't it? You don't know me. Even if you tried to find out who I am, you cannot find out. And this is the Son of God, but they don't know him. And look at chapter 1, verse 31. And I knew him not. This is John the Baptist talking about Christ. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Verse 33. I saw the, verse 32, I saw the Spirit descending verse 33, and I knew him not. Then in chapter 2, he goes to the wedding, and his mother knows him, but not really. And she said, do everything he says. That's how much she knows him. I don't really know him, but do everything he says. Let's see what will happen if we do everything he says. Nicodemus came at night in John 3 and said, I know that you are a teacher from God, for nobody could do the things that you do unless God is with him. Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom. I can add to that the meaning. You can't see me, you can't know me, but if you are born again, John chapter 4, the woman at the well, come and meet the man that told me all the things that I've ever done. Like, who are you, a prophet? I know that the Messiah is coming. And Jesus said, I am he, to the woman at the well. Then skip to John 8, please, and just to read this text. Verse 14, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and where I go. But you cannot tell where I came from and where I go. Touching to think of the courage Jesus had, and also the alienation and distance between him and people. I know where I came from, you don't know. I know where I'm going, you don't know. But here I am talking to you. In one way, I shouldn't even be talking to you. You're idiots. You're strange, plain, straight up idiots. You don't know a thing. You don't know anything. But I love you. My Father loves you. But I love you. I'm here with you. And if you seek me, you can find me. If you are willing to believe, if you are hungry and thirsty, you will be filled. If you are humble before the living God, you will know. Look at this with me, verse 15. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. Meaning, you judge me by the sandals I wear, the people I hang out with. You judge me by the flesh, by the things I say, by things that you don't understand. You're quick to judge me. You have an opinion about me, but you don't know what you're doing. Look at the next one, verse 16. If I judge, my judgment is true. I am not alone. I am the Father that sent me. The Father sent me. Thank you, Father. You sent him. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. We have taught a few times recently about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on a boat. And they're in fellowship and communion, and they love each other. And the Father and the Son are loving each other, and the Spirit is the love and the person between. There's three. And the Spirit is kind of like saying, these are my words, but I go into the whole universe to draw people to love. Because God, you are love. You are love. By the way, if you have one God, like in many religions, there is one God, but not three persons. And you have one God, but you have some natural questions to ask about one God. And that is, if he's a person, is he alone? And the answer is yes, it's only him. Then how can I be sure he loves? If he is alone and you say he is love, how do I know that? Because who is he loving forever and ever and ever and from forever and ever? He has been alone. It's not very convincing. When God is one in that way, then is he merciful? If he is, who would he give mercy to? Is he a God of relationship? If he's a God of relationship, then who is he relating to? No. This is fantastic. Jesus said, the Father. And when he says Father, it encompasses his whole mind. The Father. I love the Father. You cannot even imagine how much I love the Father. Eternally, infinitely, the Father and I share the same glory from eternity past. And he has been sent me here so that when you would see me, you would see the Father's heart. You would also understand that he's a God of relationship because he loves me. He is a God of mercy, and he's a talking God. He is a thinking God. He is a ministering God. He is an everywhere present God. And he sent the Holy Spirit into the world that we, in our blindness and lostness, would find God. Because of our sin, we don't know God. We don't know Christ when he comes. We can't get it. We don't see it. He goes on and says it this way, verse 19. Then said they unto him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. For if you known me, you would have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. No man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he said, where I go, you cannot come. He said unto them, listen to this. Nobody has ever said these words that I know of. I can't imagine any human being ever saying this, verse 23. No human being could ever say these words. I don't care who you are. These cannot be said by any sane person. But this is what he said. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. We are touching what we're hungry for. We are touching what we want. We are of this world. We are from beneath. But he is from above. And he came because the Father sent him. And the Father sent him so that we could touch God and know God. You do not know me. You do not understand me. You cannot relate to me. Where I came from, you cannot know that. You don't know where I am going. And when I leave, you cannot follow me. He is serious with these people, and they need to hear it. Verse 24. I said, therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins. We could pause there and weep for a moment. It's true. It is true. People die in their sins. They die. They are from beneath, and they go beneath. They die in their sin without Christ, without faith. In their sins, they die in their sins. And the gravity takes them down, and they are lost people. And Christ is the courage, the truth, the pluck, the reality. Oh, he is a shining, incredible evidence and testimony. He is not pushing himself to do this. This is who he is. He is not forcing himself into some evangelism. It is who he is. He is declaring reality. I am from above, you are from below, and you will die in your sins. Wow. But he goes on, says, verse 25. Then they said unto him, who are you? Jesus said, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Because they get it all messed up. They can't get it. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They get it all messed up. They can't get the clarity of it. There's no authority in it. It's not changing their life. It's not resonating in their spirit. They are arrogant people and blinded people, and they're talking to the Son of God as if he's, you know, the local bread salesman or something, or some rabbi from the far woods or something. They have no respect for him. They have no reality resonating in their heart, and they will die in their sin. This is what he's saying to them. Wow. So this is my meditation yesterday. It's in my heart. So then he said, verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. Father, not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Can you imagine that? The Father is so pleased with the Son. He is not alone. When he goes to sleep at night, the Father is with him. Angels are coming and going on the Son of Man. Can you imagine? He is without sin. Everything is clear to Christ. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's saying. He knows that the people think he's nuts. He knows that. But he isn't. That he knows that he could just back off and be a normal guy. But he has no interest in that. He didn't come for that. And he isn't that way. And he can't really be that way. Because he is without sin. And he pleases the Father. And he's on a mission. And the Spirit has anointed him. He is the anointed of God. And he is the Word of God incarnated. And everything about him is the reality of heaven. But when you don't know him, you can speak like this. And he lets us get away with our foolishness and live in it. But this is the blessing about you and I tonight. We have the Spirit of God. And when we hear that clarity, when we hear it, it builds us up. When we get a message, you can't find it at the bowling alley. You can't find it at the university professorship. You cannot find it in politics. Cannot find it in philosophy, in the history of, cannot find it in religion. You cannot find that clarity and the authority of that person who resonates in our lives through the Holy Spirit and says to us these things. And we say, we know you, Lord. We are with you. We see you. We are with you. We are your children. We are with you. We had a day today, a Sunday in September, in fellowship with Christ, the eternal God. And it has a benefit. It has a blessing. It has some impact in history. It has a resonating influence. It moves a mountain. It heals a sick person. It saves a soul. It speaks to a heart. It builds us up in our inner man. These things are unique and special. Look at the last part. It says, where were we? Verse 29, he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Thank you, God. As he just said these extraordinary words that are like from another planet, you know, like another reality, another dimension. These words, he just spoke them like he does just because it's real and true. And it's in him. He just said it. And there it is. Many believed on him. He's just works. It works. It does it. It's work. By the way, don't get discouraged if you don't have any real huge fireworks going off, spiritual fireworks going off in your life. That will happen. But just hunker down and be a believer and follow him and obey, honor him, and you'll find things will leave, go away. I said this morning it was a very good message. The one at 11, I particularly enjoyed that a lot. And I talked after with John Clark a little bit. We chatted for a few minutes, and I said, there are some things that just habit forming. Just stop doing that and keep doing this. And your life changes. It's just honoring God and doing what he says. Just do it as a habit for 6 weeks or 40 days. And it starts to grow in you. And the wrong thing can grow too. I can develop a bad habit and just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. I don't even know what I'm doing. I don't even care about. I do it by a habit. And that's really what I become. But actually honoring Christ and learning by habit, revenge disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And you'll find this growing in your life. Praise God. I get in the habit, good habits. Pastor Tom Smith is here from Virginia, isn't he? Where's the family? Okay, there he is, Pastor Tom and the beautiful Romanian, the girls. The girls and grandma. Wow, they're an awesome family. Thank you for coming from Culpeper. Lastly, it says here, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Indeed, it'll start growing in you. You'll start making sometimes exciting decisions. Sometimes it's just dull, rock solid, just tough. I just do it by faith, and it may not be easy, but I just go. And Pastor Adam just gave a great message about grace and how much grace is in our life, how God does it, how God ministers grace, how God does his work. Years ago, I told that story about my wife. We went to a drugstore, and it was in the evening, and we pulled in the parking lot, and she said, the drugstore's open. Go ahead, go get what you need. Go get it, go in there, get it. I don't remember what it was we needed. I go, no, it's closed. See, the lights are out. She said, no, it's open. No, Lee, lick it. It's closed. Do you want to get an argument about it? Huh? You picked the wrong guy. Okay, so I'm meek and humble and obedient. She said, go ahead, it's open. So I get out and go towards the store, and I'm just saying it's closed. I'm going to prove her wrong. Suddenly, the electric guy opens the door, and I stop for a second. I feel her eyes right on the back. It's a bad situation for me. It's humiliating. So, but I learned this a long time ago. turn around with a lot of confidence. It's open. I got it. I got it covered. Don't worry about it. Thanks. We got it. It's open. Okay. We walk. Okay, so why did I say that? Verse 32, 31. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. The word affects our life practically. Word affects our life in our attitude. The word affects our life and how we get up in the morning. The word affects our life and how we think about our future. The word affects our life and how we think about our past and about our friends and about each other. When we hear words that come from Christ, these words affect us and we become disciples. And as we follow him as a disciple, we follow his word and we become disciples. And what is a disciple? Somebody who's speaking from another. Like in the prison, the prisoners can't talk. They're in solitary, but they tap on the pipes. They tap on the pipes. Morse code. The prisoners in the prison. And it's kind of like God is tapping on the pipes. And we're like hearing what God is saying to us when we live in this world. And the message we get is not the message of the world. They don't talk about eternal life. They don't talk about the forgiveness of sin. They don't talk about going to heaven. They don't talk about the living, loving Heavenly Father that sent Jesus into the world. But we do. We speak about it. We believe it. And it says in verse 32, you shall know. There's that word. Woman at the well knew. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we're living in a world that's starving for life. On the phone, a pastor from another ministry said, I've gone to different churches and I don't understand it, but there's just no life there. But I met you folks and you got life. You've got life. And I'm also bearing that burden with him. No. When Christ speaks to us, we have life. My words, they are spirit and they are life. No, we have life. We have life. We are people of eternal life, walking in mortal bodies in a world that is hurting, blind, proud, indifferent, troubled, guilty, and foolish. And so are we, except you have made us disciples. You have spoken to us, and we continue in that word. We are disciples indeed. We are continuing in what we have heard. And for some here in the room, they're 40 years down the road. And they have a testimony of something that isn't seen, but is heard. Thank you, Lord. Anyone here tonight who's not a believer in Jesus Christ, this is a word for you. This is to say God loves you. God so loved the world that he gave Christ. Oh, Jesus Christ loves you. God the Father loves you. And come by faith to him and trust in him, and he gives you the new birth. Walk by faith in him. Take a hold of it. We used to say muckle onto it. We used to say take a grip on it. Take a hold of eternal life. Believe it. Embrace it. Take a hold of Christ. And get rid of the stuff, the garbage, the stuff you don't need. And trust him. your life will be enlightened and you will know him. The greatest gift given to man is the Son of God. Please say that simple prayer, Jesus, save me. And he will tonight, immediately forgive you and save you. Now, I want to ask anyone saying, said the prayer, would you raise your hand just so that we can take notice of that, that you are in the family of God? Anyone here? Yes to Jesus. Anybody, raise your hand. And the ushers will give you something to read. Anyone? Yes, Lord, anybody. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen.